22. Talking about our Lord Jesus, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Father, as we study together today your preeminent gift for Christmas, Father, help us to rejoice that we have a living Savior. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a boy growing up in our family, we had 8 children in my family, not a lot of money. And so on Christmas Eve, everybody was allowed to open one gift. And the gift was small. It was just kind of a preempto into the Christmas season that was coming the next day. But as wonderful as Christmas Eve was with the opening of one little present, the excitement was the next day. When you went to bed on Christmas Eve, you knew who was coming the next day. And you always knew that he brought the best present. He bought the one you've been bugging your mom and dad about all year long. And it was a wonderful present. It was the preeminent gift, and I'll say it, that Santa Claus brought when you were little. You believe that. And we taught our children when they were little that Santa Claus was part of the land of make-believe. Same with the Easter Bunny and all the other things. I know some people believe you shouldn't teach that and that you got to be strictly, you know, kids are kids, and they want to enjoy life, and so we enjoy life together. Christmas Day was more special than all the other days of the year because it was the day that you got the gift. When you went back to school or after the first of the year, and the kids would say, what did you get for Christmas? You didn't start out telling them what you got Christmas Eve. You started out with that preeminent gift, man. That was the one you've been waiting for all year. Our Lord Jesus, on the first Christmas Eve, gave a gift that the Israelite nation had been waiting for thousands of years. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come on forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from ever lasting. Who was this one that was going to come that had been from everlasting? There's only one person that's ever been from everlasting, and that's our God and Savior. Christ was God's delivering gift to mankind. He delivered us. In Colossians 1:13, we learn what he delivered us from. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That word delivered in the Greek is arastato, and it means rescuing someone from danger. Somebody's in a lake and they're going down for the third time, and you happen to come by and reach your hand and grab their hand and pluck them up into your boat. You are a deliverer. That's what it's talking about. Darkness in the Bible always speaks of Satan's kingdom. It's a dark kingdom. It's the domain of being without God in the world. In Matthew 8:12, It says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. That's talking about the children of Israel. When it comes time for the eternal situation to be set up, many who are of ancestry of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had the law, who had everything given to them, because of a lack of faith, are going to be cast out into outer darkness. And it says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But even today, people are in the kingdom of Satan in darkness. Even many people who would claim to be Christians don't understand that when you hate someone, you're in darkness. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, it says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And so darkness speaks of evil, and darkness speaks of Satan and his domain of being without God and being against God. Now, there are a lot of people that would say, you know, I may not have God in my life, I may be without God, but I'm not really against God. Now, you can say that if you want to, but the Bible says exactly the opposite. In Matthew 12, verse 30, our Lord Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. My friend, today you are either in the light or you are in the darkness. You're either with God and for God, or you are without God and against God. There is no in between. That's what Jesus is trying to make very clear here. Light, on the other hand, being in the kingdom of light, speaks about having God's righteousness in your heart, being right with God, and being for God. In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in 1 John 1:5, it says, this then is the message which we've heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Our deliverance from guilt and the penalty of sin was something we could not do for ourselves. I could not take myself from the kingdom of darkness and put myself into the kingdom of light. I needed a rescuer. That makes Jesus the preeminent gift of all Christmases ever given to anybody. There's a little song that used to say, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Jesus Christ paid a debt I could never pay. Without the coming of Jesus Christ, we would all be in the kingdom of darkness. There would be no rescue. And that's one of the reasons that Jesus is the preeminent gift of Christmas, because he is the delivering Christ. The second reason is he's the redeeming Christ. In Colossians 1:13 again, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. One of the great words in the Bible is the word redeemed. It means to buy back. Folks, he bought us back. We were slaves to sin. We were in darkness. We were in Satan's kingdom. And he bought us back. And it says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That's what makes Christ the preeminent gift of Christmas. God bought us back. We were his by creation, but because of sin, there was a separation, and we entered into darkness. Every single one of us, our parents all the way back, darkness. But Jesus Christ came as the light, and he opens the door to life. In Revelation 5:9, it says they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And Hebrews 9:22 says, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." I can't tell you how many people today that are attending churches all across our country, and in fact, all across our world, that really think, "I'm going to get right with God by doing good. I'm going to do what my Lord told me to do, and I'm going to be fine." Folks, if that were the case, Jesus Christ did not have to be born and die in your place. If I could do it, I should do it. But I can't do it. I needed somebody who was born different than I was. I was born with a sin nature. That nature comes down from dad to son to daughter to son. It just keeps going through the fathers. And that's the important reason why Jesus Christ was virgin born. He had no human father. He was born without a sin nature, which means he could keep the law, which I can't. If you ever want to test that sometime, sit down in the Old Testament, read the first 5 books, study the law, and then determine for just one day, I'm going to live in absolute obedience to every law that God has given. Folks, I tried that because Pastor Williams, my old pastor, challenged me with that. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." In about 15 minutes, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, "That thought was contrary to my word." You see, many people think it's just the things that you do, but it's not. It's not only the things you do, it's also what you say, and it's also what you think. And I can't think right. I've got a messed up mind. Still, I've been a Christian 50 years, and I've still got a messed up mind. I don't think right many times in life. In Colossians 1:14 again, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Do you know that redemption and forgiveness always go together in the Bible? Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And forgiveness is another one of those wonderful words found throughout the Bible, and it talks about separating. And the separation is God takes all my sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west. He casts them into the depths of the sea, and they're not coming back. I mentioned, I'm still a sinner. I still don't think right. But none of it's going on my record. That's the amazing thing of the gospel. When I sin, it does not go on my eternal record. Now, it does affect how the rest of my life goes, but not my eternity, and I praise God for that. Nobody else could have redeemed me. You could have died in my place, but it wouldn't do you any good or me any good, because you too, my friend, are a sinner. And the only acceptable sacrifice to God is a perfect sacrifice, and there's only been one, and that's the great preeminent gift that God gave us at Christmas. Jesus is also God's revealing gift to mankind. Colossians 1:15, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Jesus is, didn't become, he is and always has been the express image of God. And so when we look at that word in the Greek, it's ikon, and it means an exact representation. In Hebrews 1:3, the same exact word is used in the Greek. In Hebrews 1:3, have you got it, Joel? No, don't have it. Okay. "Who is the beginning of the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is and always has been the express image of God. He was fully man at his birth, but he was also fully God at his birth. He had a human mother, but he did not have a human father. God was his father. In Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." That's why Jesus was amazed with Philip, who said, "Show us the Father." In John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, "Have I been with you such a long time, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father?" When you want to see God and you want to know God, you have to look to Jesus and know Jesus. There is no way to know God without going through Jesus. Now, we have a lot of people, in fact, 1.3 billion people on this earth that would say to you and I, "We worship Allah, you worship Jehovah, there's one God, it's the same God." But it's not. You see, you can't know God, the real God, apart from knowing Jesus Christ, his son. And the problem is, anybody that says, "I believe in God," the Bible says Satan believes in God and he trembles. You can believe in a God. The Hindus have 10,000 gods. Tim and I used to work at the shop, and we had an engineer that was Hindu. And we talked to him about his gods. He had gods and gods and gods, but none of them are the true God. The only true God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to come to the Father is through his Son. And so all the other gods, whether it's Allah or Shiva, or Shiva, I think, was one of the Hindu guys' gods, they all have a little g. They're not the true God. And so that's why we take the gospel to those people, because they need to know Jesus Christ in order to know God. In Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." It's an interesting paradox in Scripture that Jesus said, "No man can come to me unless the Father draws him." And here Jesus is saying, "No man can come to the Father unless I reveal him to you." It's an amazing situation. Jesus truly is the preeminent gift, because he said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Folks, that's why we're sending missionaries. That's why we're sending Bibles around the world. Because I mentioned 1.3 billion people believe that Allah is the true God. They are in what? They are in darkness, and they don't even know it. They think they're all set, but they have no Savior. In the Quran, there is no Savior. Allah is God, and Allah is the judge, but there's no Savior. I praise the Lord that I was brought up in this country where I could learn about the true God. In John 1:18, Jesus said, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he went to the temple and he was discussing things with the priest, and all the people were amazed at the knowledge of this little boy? And somebody might have said to Jesus, "Son, how old are you?" Well, Jesus could have answered, "I'm as old as my father, and I'm older than my mother." I'm sure they wouldn't have got the idea, but the truth is, Jesus Christ is as old as God the Father, and he's the one that put Mary together in Mary's mother's womb. He was her creator as well. We think we're just happenstance, things just happen. But David said, In my mother's womb, Lord, you put me together. There are no accidents. God really is in charge. And so in Acts 4:12, talking about Jesus, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The angel told Mary, you'll call him the name Jesus. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sin. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. God is my Savior through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Put it down. When we have this Christmas season, next Sunday is Christmas. Make sure at your home, Christ is preeminent. Don't let it just be the presents and the food and the party and whatever else goes on. Let your celebration be focused in on Christ. It's so important. Children, you've only got a few years with your kids and your grandkids. Don't waste those years. Make sure they know who Jesus is. In James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm thankful to my God not only for Jesus Christ, but for all the wonderful gifts he's brought into our lives. But I'm most appreciative of the fact that I have a Savior, Jesus Christ. All the other gifts that God has given us are for a time period. We're getting a little older in our church, all of us, most of us. I'm 75. The oldest man in all the history of my family lived to be 87. It's my older brother. He just passed away here a year or so ago. If you do a little simple math, what does that tell you? The chances are I have 12 years to go. What then? If I have Christ as my Savior, what then? It's going to be absolutely wonderful. And I'm excited. I am. As I look at eternity, I look with hope. You know, you read the book of Proverbs 31, and it talks about the Proverbs woman, the woman of faith. It says she looks at the future, and she does what? She laughs. Why? Because she knows all the trouble we're going to have. It's all temporary. I've had 75 years, pretty good years. And if I only have 12 more, I may get more, who knows, but if I only have 12 more, it's been a pretty good life. But I've got a guarantee for eternity that is so wonderful. I'm looking forward to dying, believe it or not. That's a crazy thing, I know. Most people wouldn't say that, but I do. I look forward to it. Not the method. I'm not looking forward to a long suffering time. I want to go like Pastor Williams. You go to bed at night, you wake up in the morning in heaven. That'd be the way to go. But we don't get the choice, do we? So we look at this. Jesus Christ is God's creating gift to mankind. In Colossians 1:15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, that doesn't mean what the Jehovah's Witnesses think it means. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus Christ was a created being, created by God the Father as an angel. The angel Michael. And the angel Michael was born of a virgin and born as a man. Folks, the Bible says there's only one Savior. I think it's Hosea 13:4. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me and no Savior except me. If Jesus is not Jehovah God, we believe as Christians the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three persons, one God. That's the teaching. If he's not God, he cannot be your Savior. So how can a creator be created? And the interesting thing is, the Bible makes it very clear, the very next verse, I'm going to hit Psalm 89, and then I'm going to hit the next verse here. So Psalm 89, verse 27. You got her, Joel? No. Okay. Also, I'll make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. And so that firstborn is in there two different times in Scripture. So what does it mean? In Colossians 1:16, talking about Jesus, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So who's the creator of every created thing? Jesus Christ. Why was it made? For Jesus Christ's glory. He is our God. In John 1, verse 1. Don't have that. Okay. Sorry. There we go. "In the beginning was the Word, and it was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus Christ created everything. Before he became a baby in a manger, he is your creator. And not only is he a creator, but Jesus also is the sustaining God. In Colossians 1:17, it says, "He is before all things, and by him all things consist." Do you know the greatest scientist on earth right now cannot tell you why you stay together? Why doesn't your body just go away? They're telling us that in our atoms that make up our body, in the nucleus of the atom, there are all positive charges. There are no negative charges in the nucleus of your atoms that hold you together. What is it that holds it together? If I take two positive batteries and I put them together, what are they going to, or magnets, what are they going to do? They're going to push apart. You can't get them together. Jesus Christ is the glue that holds every part of you together and every part of this universe together. He's a creator, but he's also the one who holds it together. When Jesus just speaks the word at the end of the millennial reign, every created thing is going to cease. This earth as we know it is everything that man has ever touched is going to be erased. And we're going to start brand new. Up until that time, he's going to hold it together. And Jesus Christ is God's reconciling gift to man as well. He reconciles us to his Father. In Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through his blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Folks, when you get to judgment day, if you have received God's gift of his Son as your Lord and Savior, there are going to be no sins on your record. And it's not because you haven't sinned. It's because it's all been paid for. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." What does that mean? That means when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God totally reconciled you with his Father. But that's not where it stops. Then he's given to every one of us a ministry of going out and bringing others to Jesus so that they also can be reconciled. Folks, you've got a wonderful ministry that we need to be busy about. Because I'm going to tell you, there are people in your family. Now, maybe not your immediate family, But if you go just a step or two away from your immediate family, there are people in your relationship that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As much as you care about them, what's going to happen to them if you don't tell them about the Lord? Oh, they'll have a wonderful Christmas. They're going to have a wonderful next 10, 15, 20 years. Things are going to go pretty well for them. But then is going to come Judgment Day. And they're going to face the Lord as their judge without having salvation. They're going to face him as one that's still in the kingdom of darkness. And they're going to be cast out into outer darkness. Folks, I can't encourage you enough. When you get together with your family, repeat the Christmas story. It'll take you less than 5 minutes. That's all it takes. But those little ones, and sometimes you'll be surprised, sometimes those bigger ones don't know. They think they know. But suddenly the Word of God will convict them of sin, and they'll realize they don't have a Savior. And they will cry out to the Lord, and the light will come on in them. And they'll bring other family members. So Jesus Christ is the preeminent gift, number one, because he was God's delivering gift to mankind. He delivered you out of the darkness into his light. Number two, he was God's redeeming gift. He bought you back. He redeemed your life. Number three, he's God's revealing gift. You cannot know God the Father without knowing God the Son. It cannot be done. He's God's creating gift. Everything that ever has been created was created by Jesus Christ. And lastly, he's God's sustaining gift. He holds everything together. There's just one catch to all this. You have to personally receive God's gift. It's given to whosoever will. But you and I must receive it. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now I want you to, before you switch, Joel, can you go back to 16? Those words are in red. What does that mean? These are Jesus' own words. Now verse 17 is still in red. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh into the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Folks, you need to be praying for your families. We all have lost loved ones. We need to be busy about God's work. Share the truth when you can. And when you can't, pray for them. God can lead them into the light anytime he chooses to. In our prayers, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. You can be the difference. Father,